What's up? What's up? What's up? You are now tuned into the Fellas Podcast. I'm Jason. We got Phil, and we got that boy Ross. Let's go!
Ain't it crazy how people give up comfort for destiny?
Hey, destiny is worth it, bro.
But it made you realize it never comes without an expense.
Nothing ever comes without an expense. I was talking to this guy today, and I said, you have to understand the whole concept of risk management. Anything you want in life comes at the risk of something. Can you afford to take that risk? You know what I'm saying? Can you afford to go without that, or can you afford to face that? If you can't afford it, then that you should make that decision to go forward. I think everything in life, if you want success, if you want a better marriage, if you want better finances, there's something that's going to be at risk, but is what you put in at risk worth being put at risk?
All investments require risk.
Exactly.
And when you're making an investment, when you're setting the account up, and Ross, you know this, you always, one of the questions is, what is your risk tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a series of questions that people have to answer, because what happens is the companies are basically covering themselves against a lawsuit, because they're saying, mm-hmm. if I put you in a program that you didn't never agree to,
right,
it's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
But if I put you in a program and you agreed to it, but right. You said you couldn't handle risk tolerance, you signed off on this.
You saying that reminds me of the parable of no one takes on the project of building without counting the cost.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Because let me quit saying, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But no one does that. But we actually do it quite often because we don't consider that in every decision that we're making is going to cause a risk to some degree. And so what happens is we make a lot of decisions out of the convenience of the moment, and we don't calculate what the requirement is, whether that requirement is futuristic or even if it's in the present. We think about more of it's convenient. When you think about people that's shopping, that's the easiest way to say it. You've budgeted something, but you think in your mind, I'm saving on this sale. You're not saving anything.
It's still 100% of your funds.
Exactly.
It's more emotional, though. You know, a lot of times we make decisions emotionally. Like, let's go back to what you're saying, buying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have the money, but I don't feel good today.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go buy these shoes to make me feel good,
mm-hmm.
for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not being rational, knowing that if I spend this $100 today, how am I going to eat lunch for the rest of the
right.
week? So a lot of times we make emotional decisions for temporary fixes.
And right. end up with buyer's remorse.
Yes.
How many relationships are people still in?
There you go.
Because of what made them feel good in a temporary season.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have buyer's remorse, but they lost the receipt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they lost their guts. Because most of the time, you ever bought something and you're like, man, I shouldn't have bought this, but you're too much of a punk to take it back?
Nah. Mm-hmm. Nah, bro. I'm a punk. Hey, I will walk around.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
I'm gonna
go in that store and I'm gonna look at it, and I'm gonna be like, I like that.
It's
how
both.
Much it costs?
Yeah.
I'm coming back. And when I got the, cause see, at that point, when I come back and get it, I'm not tripping. I've already mentally established, and here's the why: cause I hate going back to get refunds. I think it's a waste of my time if I can prohibit it.
And in relationships, a lot of times we don't go back because of pride. So when you say we have buyer's remorse, you know you need to put it back on the shelf. Whatever the case may be, women, clothes, shoes, but you have so much pride. Nah, I'm not going to look like a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a loser this time. And then by the time you get the guts or you put your pride to the side to give it back, you're so far gone, you may as well keep it.
Right. And so for me, in my younger years, and I think as fellas, as men, we were so caught up in, I got to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't speak for y'all,
mm-hmm.
but let me tell you how my weekend looked. I knew I got paid on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already budgeted $150 of my check,
mm-hmm.
to go get me a fresh outfit for the club. I just bought some Forces last week, but I might need some other shoes. Just dumb. I'm going to pay VIP because I'm not waiting in line. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm spoiled like that.
So time out. What's up, fam? Hey, this is Big Bro Phil.
I'm Jason.
And we are the fellas. So you literally just chimed in on an impromptu conversation that we're having. As you can tell, it's already getting good. But we did have to get that identification break in there, let you guys know. Right? So peep this. Make sure you follow us on IG. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. And we are at...
on Instagram, The Fellas. D-A-F-E-L-L-A-S. 2K18. That's 1-8.
You sound like you were that Splackabilly song back in the day.
Listen, that's how they told me on sales. Like, when you leave a voicemail, you know what I'm saying? They be like, S-P. Yes. Hey, that's not the song. Yes, P.
Right.
And we didn't know what we were saying. We just Splackabilly. So, for y'all, D-A-F-E-L-L-A-S 2K18.
The Fellas.
Follow us. Yep. The Fellas. Facebook is The Fellas. Facebook is spelled a little different. T-H-E space Fellas. Instagram, The Fellas 2K18. And so, yeah, make sure you follow us. We'll make sure we put a link to our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel down below. So, yeah.
So, here's a good question. What are you willing to lose? In order to gain, and is the thing or the idea, the subject of what you're seeking to gain worth gaining? Like, as it relates to your purpose, as it relates to your life, as it relates to your identity and who you are, is that worth gaining?
You know, it's crazy when you start talking. I think if you have conversations, people are scared of being broken.
People are already broken.
Mm. But see, the problem is they're already broken. Wow. They won't stay in the ground long enough for the manifestation to take place.
Wait. That's good. Okay, but I think it's two types of broken. There's a broken that you can be, but it's covered up.
Right.
But then there's a different breaking that flows externally. The tears and the openness and the embracing of love, the seeking for assistance, like that, bro. I think it's two. If I could say that, there's two types of broken, because like you said, people are broken, like in so many areas of life. But because if we throw in the risk factor, because they're at the risk of somebody seeing them in that state, they hide their brokenness. And then there are the people who find the true liberty and the true help and the success and the freedom and the deliverance, because they don't mind just simply unmasking their brokenness.
But see, and you're right. And that's what I was sitting here thinking. The apple tree, one seed can mm-hmm. give you a tree full of apples.
Mm-hmm.
But that seed is willing to be broken over and over and over again
mm-hmm.
until the tree sprouts up mm-hmm. and produces fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happens is we're all like that seed, that apple seed.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us can't handle the continuous brokenness. And we're like, well, it's hurting. But you don't realize that, why would I stop hurting in the middle of the wilderness? I'm almost to my destiny. So if it's going to require me to stay broken just a little bit longer, because I remember PK talked about one time, mm-hmm. Pastor Keon is our spiritual father. He talked about how the pain that we feel, and he was trying to get us to that point. He said, that's where I want you to preach from.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can preach from your brokenness, you remember where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
You remember where God found you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize how far he's taking you.
There's a grace in that delivery that you otherwise wouldn't have.
Because you would go arrogant.
Yeah, because when I can minister, when I can love from my broken place, there's a connection. Like, we're kinsmen. I feel what you feel. I mean, this is the whole understanding behind Jesus. Now he knows what it feels like to be tempted at the same points that we're tempted. Different face, but the same temptation.
Same temptation.
And that's what makes him a high priest, that he can stand in the gap for us, because he sympathizes with us, not from a distance, but from the place of saying, I know what it is to be betrayed. I know what it is to be set up. I know what it is to be ridiculed. I experienced that, and I know what it is for the enemy to pull on the desires that you may have, because at the end of the day, every desire is not a wicked desire, but it's perverted through how that desire is manipulated. Man. So, you know what I'm saying? So he's a kinsman. And when we can deliver from the grace that we receive in our brokenness, it makes it powerful. That's the connection. Grace is the connection.
The brokenness to me is you have to embrace the process. Mm. So, for example, like I always use football analogies. You got to go one more yard. Mm. You're hurting right now, but it's 4th and 1.
Push.
It's 3rd and 6. You got to keep pushing. So you're hurting, it's 4th quarter, you're grinding, but you know if you keep pushing, you're going to ultimately get to the goal that you really want to do. So embracing the brokenness is, to me, it's like energy, like positive energy is the push. Because then I know, in essence, when I'm in my lowest point, you know, and our weakness, that's when God is strong.
Right.
So I still have to push through so he can pull me through the hole.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, God, I'm here. What's next? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a penance in my name, but I'm going to depend on you to get me through the week, for example.
Yeah.
And in essence, he says, well, you've been faithful through your broken place. You've actually submitted to me and let me know that you're going to trust me right now. So I know when you get it, you show me that you're going to trust me. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to keep on providing and protecting you during your broken places. And then when you have those people that feed on your brokenness, he's still there to comfort you.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
Because a lot of times you have people that are around you, you know, we put on a good face, but they have the discernment of that we are broken. So they feed on it, they tap on that. But then you just have to realize, well, God, you know that this is the enemy attacking me. It looks good. It smells good. It might even feel good.
Fool's gold.
But however, it is.
It's all gold plated.
You know what I'm
saying? It is. But you have to always rely on what's pure. We know that God is pure.
Right.
We know that everybody else is tainted in some sense. So even though you may be a good friend, there is some perversion there. And you might try to take advantage of the perversion. But if you stand strong and lean on him, he's going to pull you through even in your broken place. I'd rather be broken and knowing to depend on God that he's going to pull me through and have everything in the world and still go to hell.
But see, that's why you have to celebrate your progress, Ross. We, in our broken state, it go back to football. 4th quarter, we down 2 touchdowns. I remember our homecoming game, we was down 3 touchdowns, bro. 17 points. And we came back. And what I realized was...
You said what?
It never happened at Jack Gates, but okay.
We won, though.
Here we go with this.
Ain't nobody worried about
you
them.
You think these Negroes still playing ball in high school?
All them dudes shot up at Jack Gates. They was like the program. But what I'm saying is, what makes great coaches is not their game plan when they're winning. It's when they're losing and they say, listen, it's 1st and 10. Just move the ball up the field. And you got to realize, every play, essentially, most of the playbook is built to score a touchdown. Except for your quarterback sneaks and your fullback up the middle. That's your 4th and 2 situation, your 3 and 3 short yarder situation. But every play is designed to score. But what happens is when you're running that ball, you just like just 1 first down at a time. You know what I'm saying? 1 first down at a time. And before you know it, bam, you just scored. Now it's like defense, handling it up.
You hit the ball,
man. One play at a time. And so whenever you make that progress, you got to say, God, I thank you. I started off at the 20, but now I'm on the 40. Thank you, Lord.
But I don't even wait that long. God, I started out on 20. I'm on 22 now.
See?
Like, it doesn't have to, for me, it's not even going that far because the 20 was like bad.
But see, I think we don't understand that 20 to 40, see, we look at it as 20 to 22. But if we stepped out of it.
And look back.
People are going to be like, bruh,
see
how
that
did
progression,
you?
Yeah.
Whoa, you, isn't it, this
isn't
major.
Isn't it a sense of humbleness, though, for me? Like, when I look at it, okay, I go from 20 to 22. It may have been a large gap, but for me, I know that
God you made progress.
I made progress, and I'm going to get to the other 5th. I'm going to get to the 40 because that's who I'm depending on.
I think it's both ways because I think there's 2 things which I'm bringing out. One is the power perspective, and then and having someone with the right eyes who can look from the outside in and see your progress. Because you're on the field. That's different from coach who's on the line.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? The perspective is from the angle that he can see it and his mindset, because he knows the finish and the ending and the in-betweens, right? So that's one thing. But then the other thing is, like you guys have placed a high value on that pressure period. Like you said, I would rather be in a state of brokenness and have him than to have all the external things or whatever and not have him. Which was ended like an utter just failure. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like solidified failure. Mm-hmm. I think that's crucial though, because obviously, like we talked about in the first one, that's where we started. We started in what wasn't the perfect scenario where we all branched together, looped in together, connected the synergy we talked about on the last episode. Like the way that came together, you know, I just hear that. And it may be a ministry moment. It's just, you know.
Don't start crying.
I ain't finna cry. That's you, nigga.
Yeah, you cry, baby.
But it's like it's like the back against the wall. Those parts of your life are sometimes the most creative, the most strategic in terms of God and divinity. Yeah. But as far as you're concerned, those are like the moments that make or break you. How you handle that tribulation, how you handle that struggle, whether you feel like you failed in it or not, it doesn't matter. It's how you handle it. If you fail, how you handle the failure. You know, what did you learn from it? And then what were the action steps that you took after that failure? Like, that's what matters. So if I'm getting from the 20 to the 22, how did you get there?
Right.
And when you got there, what was your perspective like? Did you devalue it? Did you discredit that it was just two? You see what I'm saying?
Perspective.
Because perspective is, Negro, you doing your thing. Like, all right, you gaining ground. Because somebody's saying, I see you in the end zone, and I'm glad you got up from that 20. Because I'd rather you be progressive than to be stagnant, right? And still be in the same place, lose possession. Things can go another way. So it's really, how do you handle that? Like, how do you view that? And then I think a key thing is, being on a team, man, you're not left up to your own mind. Maybe even when you get to that point where you're like, bro, it was just two, and it's like, somebody, nah, bro, let's keep going. Right. Let's keep going. We in this thing, baby. Like somebody in your corner, whether it's multiple people or a single person, but being on a team gives you advantage. Two heads are better than one. You know, there's strength in numbers, but there is a wisdom in the multitude of counsel. So I mean, it's the idea of saying I'm not by myself in this endeavor, you know, and even when it looks like I haven't made significant progress, who said that progress was ever insignificant? It's progress. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and sometimes it takes people to help you have the right perspective about that, because those are the moments that make or break you, that really define you. And that makes a difference between, you know, I'm a basketball fan. That makes a difference between how your fourth quarter looks.
You know, when you say perspective, I think that's what makes us really, really good together, is that we have three different perspectives and three different angles. Four. And even with that, it's kind of like we all bring something to the table from our life experiences and our experiences with God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, for example, you know how to, you tap in like that. When you got ready to preach with cracking jokes, next thing you know, you full Holy Ghost Spirit. You, on the other hand, you joke and laugh, but then when it's time to go, you laugh into it. For me, it's kind of like, okay, God, it's go time. Then it finally clicks. But our perspectives all get us in the same place at the same time. Have you ever noticed when the Spirit's high in the church, we all laid out. we doing what we doing, speaking in tongues, rolling on the floor. But at the same time, we're so connected that whatever's going on in your life, it's kind of confirmation for what's going on in my life, and it's confirmation what's going on in your life, and we all can lean on each other to be like, okay, well, God has already taken care of it, in a sense.
Right, right. I look at it, and that's why it's, so for you, we talked about it today, your first sermon, you had a good cheat sheet. Why? Because you had me and Phil to call,
mm-hmm.
and you had Torrance still, you know what I'm saying? You can still rely on the thing that you learned from your pops. But you had people that you had access to. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with me. I had Phil coming in later on, but I had Torrance. Mm-hmm. And I had other people that were pouring into me that helped me develop those things. And so now when you look at it, October to June, it's June 1st. October to June. January, life changed for us. A few months later, you became the worship leader. Mm-hmm. Went from being an humble servant to being the worship leader. With a team of worship leaders. You became a servant to both of our pastors at the church. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Once again, you started from the back, professed your calling, and you never wanted to be in the front. And that's what gave you the right access. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Same thing with me, bro. I remember sitting in the office with Tanya and Torrance. And I remember I told y'all, now that I look back, our names weren't even on the board. And that's not to talk about anybody else when they talk about people placement. But it's like, it's not that people overlook you. It's that God has hidden you long enough until that right moment where the opportunity is there and you say, I'm the solution.
PK said that when we were talking to him. PK, if you listen.
If you listen. Bless you, Pops.
But you saying that, I know we got to wrap this up, but he said that in terms of like endurance and waiting and not being so... not rushing the process. Man, so man. Eager to try to get to a certain place. And he says, how do you not know that God is hiding you for the right time?
You know how much pain I endured trying to rush the process? Self-harm. Self-deterioration. And it was like, that's why you gotta be careful with the relationships you have, man, because if you weren't my brother, I could have became envious of your position at the time.
Man, you can have it. So listen here, fam. I'm not position driven. That's why I say that. Period. Y'all. So it's no disrespect to any position. That's just my mindset. I believe more in being effective, and sometimes a position is not always a requirement to effectiveness. So anyways, hold on to that. Take that to the next episode. Once again, it's your boy Big Bro Phil.
Jason.
Ross.
And we the fellas.
The fellas. Yeah. Remember, subscribe, follow us. Everything in the link.
Hey, this Big Ross. You just tuned into the Fellas Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Fellas 2K18. Peace.
Let's go!